This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your signal to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, June 1st. Legendary rock guitarist Joe Walsh, WB6ACU, is featured in a just-released set of ARRL audio and video public service announcements promoting amateur radio. ARRL will provide the 30- and 60-second PSAs to public information officers to share with television and radio stations. The ARRL Media and Public Relations Department also will provide these announcement files directly to interested television and radio outlets. The announcements are available for downloading from the ARRL website for members to use in promoting amateur radio at club meetings and public presentations, such as ARRL Field Day, June 23rd through 24th. The files can be downloaded at www.arrl.org/public-service-announcements. Walsh, who visited ARRL headquarters last year to record the announcements, wanted to deliver two main messages: get involved in amateur radio and become a member of ARRL. The messages highlight the tremendous service that radio amateurs provide to communities and convey how ARRL advocates on behalf of amateur radio on a wide range of legal and political issues. An ARRL life member and longtime radio amateur, Walsh has been a strong supporter and advocate of ARRL and amateur radio, and his ham station is just as impressive as his home recording studio. The setting for the PSAs was ARRL headquarters station W1AW, which Walsh was especially eager to revisit. The occasion also offered him an opportunity to see equipment he donated to W1AW years earlier. Walsh's past on-the-air forays on W1AW have always attracted enthusiastic pileups. While at W1AW, he spent some time chatting with station manager Joe Karsha, NJ1Q, about the station's operations. The U.S. Army Military Auxiliary Radio System, better known as MARS, is recommending that MARS members migrate to standalone computer systems for radio operations, subject to the availability of a dedicated computer. For communication exercises this year, MARS established conditions for a certain portion of the drill that requires use of standalone computer systems, normally not connected to the Internet. MARS member and software consultant Steve Hajduchek, N2CKH, has recommended that members use the military standard data modem terminal communication software employed in standalone computers as a best practice for achieving a high level of performance. He pointed out that the MARS mission assumes that an internet connection will not be available. He said used or refurbished PCs are widely available at low cost and could be dedicated to serve as standalone function. MARS program manager Paul English, WD8DBY, told ARRL that the MARS goal is to isolate members' computers from the Internet as much as possible. Amateur radio emergency service volunteers in the Maryland, D.C. section activated in the wake of regional flash flooding on May 27th. Hit especially hard was Ellicott City, where vehicles were reported to have been washed away by fast-moving floodwaters upward of 10 feet deep. At least one person was reported to be missing. Heavy rain, as much as 8 to 10 inches, soaked portions of central and southern Maryland. The flooding disaster was the second since 2016 in historic downtown Ellicott City, which was still recovering from the earlier event. High water also affected Arbutus, Dundalk, and Cadenceville. ARRL section leadership asked radio amateurs in the flood-affected areas to check on the health and welfare of their neighbors. Reed said high water rescues were needed in Perry Hall and Patapsco State Park. When the flooding quickly became serious in several locations, Maryland, D.C. section manager Marty Pittinger, KB3MXM, activated ARIES in 8 central counties at 6:30 p.m., and 15 minutes later, more than 40 ARIES volunteers reported to their respective 2-meter nets. The majority of flood-affected communities were in Anne Arundel, Prince George's, and Howard counties. Amateur radio volunteers in the Maryland, D.C. section provided additional situational awareness, and Pittenger interfaced with ARRL Atlantic Division leadership, Maryland section emergency coordinator Jim Montgomery, WB3KAS, and state and local authorities. The Maryland, D.C. area's volunteers remained on duty until 10:15 p.m. on May 28th. The Russian National Academy of Researches and Discoveries has honored ARRL's QST magazine with an E.T. Krenkel Medal for outstanding global contributions to amateur radio. The award's namesake, Ernst Krenkel, was a radio amateur who, over the years, used the call signs RAEM, U3AA, and UA3AA. Born in Poland, Krenkel was an Arctic explorer who took part in the first Soviet drifting station, known as North Pole 1. He was made a, quote, hero of the Soviet Union, unquote, in 1938 for his exploits. Krenkel's son, T.E. Krenkel, is among the four signatories to the award certificate, this being the 76th certificate presented. The younger Krenkel, a professor at the Moscow Technical College of Telecommunications and Informatics, said his father was an avid radio amateur who served as the first chairman of the Central Radio Club in the USSR. E.T. Krenkel's image appears on postage stamps from the USSR and Russia, and he authored a biography entitled My Call Sign is RAEM. Several prominent radio amateurs have received the E.T. Krenkel Medal. In the era when all radio amateurs received QSL cards via Box 88 Moscow, Krenkel was allowed to have his own postal address on his QSLs and was issued the non-standard RAEM call sign.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
If you missed Hamvention this year, Jerry N0JY, Vice President of Engineering for AMSAT, had a great presentation. He explained all the Fox Series satellites and the upcoming Gulf Series satellites. You can view his PowerPoint or PDF versions by visiting amsat.org/P=189. Robert, KE4AL, is one of the recent AMSAT Rover Award recipients, and he is going on the road again. Be sure to put this one on your calendar. During the summer, he has said he will activate 43 grids. For starters, he will activate 6 grids from July 26th through the 31st. They will be EN 37, 38, 47, 48, 57, and 58. Robert is going to introduce his father-in-law, George, KE0GQX, to satellites and roving. You just might see George on some grid square runs in the future. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, June 1st. There is just one spot visible on the sun right now. First it was growing, then it faded, and now it's growing again. The solar flux index is hovering around 75, so as a result, we've had reports of significant band openings on 15 meters and even a little bit of activity on 10 and 12 meters. There is a decent chance of geomagnetic storms making things difficult over the weekend for events like the Kentucky QSO party. However, if the flux remains elevated, conditions on the HF bands may not otherwise be too bad. It will come down to the strength and the duration of the storms. On VHF and UHF, the bulk of the action appears to be taking place on the east and west coasts. Tropo openings on 2 meters and above have been popping up in Southern California and Nevada, as well as from Virginia all the way up the coast to Maine.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.